Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you are, welcome to my podcast, Chai with Sandosa. It's a podcast which brings people around the globe who share their wisdom, their knowledge, their expertise, and having a heart-centered conversation with me, Sandosa, based in Birmingham, UK. My podcast, Chai with Sandosa, has been in inception since June 2020. And I have now completed 71 episodes, which are available on iTunes, Spotify, and all other major platforms. So please listen and give us feedback. Really appreciate your feedback so I can make more great podcasts for you all. Today, another exceptional personality, I would say. You know what, this is you're going to be surprising. This is the fourth time we are trying to get this podcast ready for you. And she is amazingly humble to every time said to me, Sam, no problem, let's reconnect, let's do it again. So hope this all goes well. And my thought leader, today's thought leader is Erin. She is international teacher on overcoming and preventing anxiety, worry, and overwhelm. And she has been through an anxiety disorder, which has actually, for almost nearly a year, she was at home. And then she found a solution. And since then, she has been quite hands-on with helping thousands of people now around the globe. So welcome, my guest. Erin, welcome to Chai with Sandosa.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to connect with you every single time. And as we said before the recording, this will be our best version, obviously, because this is the one that's going to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Erin, tell my audience who Erin is and what's her purpose and mission in this world.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I work with individuals on overcoming and preventing anxiety, worry, overwhelm, stress. Having been that person for many, many years, I thought I was my thoughts and my emotions, and I was in reaction to everybody and everything all day, every day. And it was quite stressful. So, my journey was... It started with an anxiety disorder that I was able to chemically balance by going to a homeopathic psychiatrist, but that didn't help the mental, emotional, spiritual side that still wanted to be in anxiety because like I talk about sometimes, the feelings that we have, the emotions that we have, they're addictive. And it has to do with the mind-body connection in terms of, when you have an emotion, then you release chemicals and hormones and your body goes, oh, okay, that's what we're doing today. We're doing depression or we're doing anxiety or we're doing stress. And it just follows suit. And so when you understand that that's what's going on and you recognize that you can, be intentional about your thoughts and recognize what your emotions are signaling, then you can have a very different experience. And so that's what I created nearly decades later from having that anxiety disorder. I started to recognize, oh, there's things that I can do to create a different experience.
Oh, wow, wow. So give us a little bit about your journey as how you overcame, because, there are a lot of people right now sitting in this sort of a mindset of overwhelming because now everybody's coming out from COVID now going to go back to work. And that's another anxiety of traveling again back on the same buses and the tube and tram and by taxi or by car or everything like that, Coming out from that relaxing period of having your own time, having your own environment, and suddenly it started to change. It creates a lot of anxiety. And my wife was telling me that she might be feeling overwhelmed already to start engaging with people face to face. That's going to be a completely different experience for a lot of people. So in your journey, how do you think that people should look at this as a positive or as as overwhelming, and how they can relate to those sort of things?
Well, ultimately, we're really, the only thing that we can control is our experience. And most people don't recognize that, but I'm definitely here to have to tell people that for sure. You know, anxiety, all low-level emotional experiences, which is anything that doesn't feel good, is based on us wanting to control people and circumstances so that we feel good. And if I can show you how to have an internal experience of feeling good, then you don't have to worry about people or circumstances. They're just going to do whatever they do. And that's really just allowing life to unfold, being present in the moment and recognizing that I can control me, nothing else. And not in a bad way, in an empowering way, because if I can control my experience, then who cares what's going on around me? And so that's really, that's what the goal is, right? Is to be able to experience this life how you want to experience it versus being beholden to or at the mercy of others or circumstances. And that's just allowing what is to be. And that's really the crux of what has people, you know, having experiences that don't feel good, is being in resistance to what is, needing it or wanting it to be a different way.
So in your view, would you say emotions can be managed or experience can be managed or controlled? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's 100% the case. And the goal basically is to recognize that you are not your thoughts and that you are not your emotions. And the reason that you aren't those is because who's the spectator of those? If you can have a thought and think it and recognize what it is, if you can have an emotion and name it, then who is that that's recognizing it? That's actually who you are. And so most of us function thinking we are our thoughts and our emotions, and that's why we react to everybody. But when you recognize that who you actually are, you know, as your soul essence being whatever, that is an all loving, all kind, all knowing being. And this other thing is just put in place for us to evolve. Like, we're here for spiritual development or self-development or whatever you want, consciousness, whatever you want to call that. That's why we're here. And so thoughts and emotions that lead to these reactions are the gateway to us healing. That's the evolution, is in that. It's not about all the things that we're talking about all the time, like success and money and how do I become XYZ? It's none of that, really. You know, like, I don't even make goals anymore, because goals are about me needing to achieve something so that I can feel good about myself. I already feel good about myself. I don't need to do those things. And I don't need to set them or, you know, any of those things. Do I have, you know, things that I would like to accomplish in this world? Yeah, but they stem around teaching people this very thing, which is you can enjoy your life right at this moment. When you think that happiness is based on external things. So if you are striving to get, you know, things, money, success, in our social ways that we talk about those things, then that is happiness, but it's fleeting. Joy is that internal experience that I've been talking about, where it's, you can't penetrate it by any of these other things. And you recognize, while you like to have nice things, that that's not going to really change the way that you experience this life. It's nice to have a nice car, but eventually it just becomes a car, right? And same with the house, and same with the clothes, and same with the relationship if you're not paying attention. And so this is the work, is going, oh, I'm in reaction to this person or this thing. And now I get to do the deep dive on me to sit in those experiences and understand them so that I can heal from them and not keep creating them over and over again. That's the evolution.
Absolutely. I think you put it very well quite articulately very well on this subject of, you know, joy is within your internal happiness. And yeah, outside is just like a shiny things. We see people attract to those shiny things, and we're trying to have this and that and everything, but the happiness does not, or joy does not come to yourself, because we always trying to think that this, we will bring joy and happiness from outside in, but it's actually opposite, is inside out. And that's the nitty-gritty, a secret of happiness or joyfulness. You know, I just want to add this, I had this quote I read, and I'm just trying to see how you take this as, it's done by a philosopher called Alan Watts. Now, what he's saying is, wanting positive experience is a negative experience. Accepting negative experience is a positive experience. And then he says, he refers to a law which is called backwards law. Yeah. And then he says, the idea that more you pursue feeling better all the time, the less satisfied you become, as pursuing something only reinforces the fact that you lack it in the first place. The more you desperately want to be rich, the more poor and unworthy you feel, regardless of how much money you actually make. The more you desperately want to be sexy and desired, the uglier you come to see yourself, regardless of your actual physical appearance. The more you desperately want to be happy and loved, the lonelier and more afraid you become, regardless of those who you surround you. The more you want to be spirituality enlightened, the more you self-centered and shallow you become in trying to get there. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, he's talking about that external power that people are trying to achieve, which is what we were talking about in terms of things, success. What I want your audience to know is that you have nothing to do in order to have value. There's no action you need to take. There's no goal you need to set. There's no arriving that you need to have in order to have value. You have value because you come from this amazing thing that created all of this universe, this exquisite design. So just by merely existing, but the problem is that we're taught to set goals and get good grades and achieve this and do that in order to have value. And I want people to understand you have value now. You need do nothing to have value, to have worth, to matter. Like, that is a given just because we have in us divinity. There's no way of getting away from it. It's just that we've been, you know, it's not your fault. We've just been taught all these things that aren't true, that, you know, happiness is from getting things. But I guarantee if you're on your deathbed, you're not thinking, I wish I had worked more. I wish I had amassed more things. I wish I had more money. No, you're thinking, I wish I had made the people that I love more of a priority. I wish I had made more memories. I wish I had deeper, meaningful relationships with more people. So go out and do that. You can do that now for free. You don't even have to like buy anything or pay for anything. You can just cultivate those relationships. But the first relationship to cultivate is the one with you. Because if you don't believe what I say, that you have value and worth right now, cultivate that relationship. And from that cultivation will be the drop of water that ripples out to everybody and everything. And that will change the trajectory of the experience that you're having in your life, 100%.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. And I think we are conditioned, as I use a statement called, we are born to win, but conditioned to fail. So we have been conditioned to a lot of things as we trying to, because the conditioning was done since we were young. And since a young age, you have been conditioned to a lot of things. And that conditioning becomes your belief. And your beliefs, you can't change your belief. You are being embedded those beliefs in yourself so hard that somebody says something, you have a trigger that says, how could you say those things to me? this is my strong belief, you can't actually tarnish my belief. Because we are always, because they can't see the flip side of the coin. They only see what has been conditioned to them. And that's why when people talk about the spirituality, the transition, the cultivation of happiness within yourself, people started to look at us like we are talking jargon in a different language. We are talking a different language. But people, because as people can't wait. We don't wait, actually. We want everything to happen yesterday for today. We want to become a millionaire. We should have been a billionaire yesterday. Today we should be a trillionaire or billionaire or whatever they count as. But we are not looking at ourselves. We are just looking at what others are doing. We are trying to compare ourselves. We're trying to kill ourselves. And there is a study done by researchers saying that, you know, when people have coke, the cocaine, they have this specific brain area which lights up very quickly, lights up. Same those people who are running behind the money, or they have wealth, for example, they have wealth, they're already wealthy people. But then they started to buy more things. So they have that addiction of buying more things. They have a one big mansion, and says, yeah, we can buy another mansion. We have a jet, we can buy another jet. It's not a problem. So that actually they have research on that one and created this scientifically proven that you have an addiction of getting everything, but you are still not happy. You are still suffering from that contentment. You sit on, you know, you become a telling everybody, I'm an enlightened person and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But you, deep down, you are not. You are just wearing a facade on your face or a mask on your face. So people are just attracted because they are looking at your exterior thing, because you're wearing those, you have long white hair, and then you are wearing those sort of outfit which look like you are like a saint. And people look at you and say, wow, this guy is very enlightened. And because you have read so many interesting books, and you are an NLP practitioner, and you know how to stimulate mind for people. And because we are looking for any source of happiness, we go to those sort of people who are fake. And I was watching this program on Netflix called Leverage. And in that, actually, what this guy was doing, actually, he was actually conning a lot of people, saying that I can talk to the spirit. Come and talk to me. I can tell you that your husband is telling you this or your wife is telling you this. And they actually get into to know exactly what was happening. What he was doing, actually, he was pre-planning everything ahead of the game. So he was have people who was doing all the searches of those poor people about their Facebook page, about their any other page, wherever the information is. They can have all the information. And then he just manipulate the conversation. Have the light bulb brighten in one corner so people will see he's talking to your loved ones there. And that sort of people get because we are so desperate. And you must have heard of a lot of people goes to church, mosque, temples, and then they say, you know, God give us, we are praying for you. And God says, I am going to give you, because I'm the creator of everything. You are my children because I've created you. I'm giving you, but comes with the time. I'm not going to hand it over everything to you on your hand. It will come with the time, but we do not have patience. And that's where it is all about, having a patience. And that's why we can't wait. And we jump, go to a medium, or we go jump and go and see somebody, a Reiki master, or we go somewhere else who will give answers to us. And that's where we are looking at. I was talking to my friend, and she was so desperate to know how her career is going to go forward. And she spoke to this person, that person, and everybody is saying, oh, you're going to happen this, you're going to happen. Fast forwarding our life, you have a mission in your life. God has given you that direction. You need to search for the direction. You can't take a shortcut.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I it's funny because I was just on a podcast the other day and the gal said something, I'm going to misquote it probably, but she said something like, I can't be bothered with this 3D world, right? I can't be bothered with what it's showing me because this universe is in real time. So it's like your thoughts are creating what's in front of you. Change your thoughts and you change what's in front of you. And it's not immediate always, but we like you're saying, we want it to be immediate. And we want to know, like, I can never understand why people want to go to a fortune teller or whatever, somebody to tell them their future. I'm like, how boring is that? Because the reality is whatever they tell you, if you decide that that's the truth, guess what? It is the truth because you are going to create it by deciding that that's the truth. They didn't do anything for you. So just skip paying somebody to do that. Look inside and go, what is it I want to create in this life, and create it, because that's how it works. Where we get hung up, and myself included, I mean, I am constantly in evolution. I'm constantly working on myself, is where we get impatient and decide, oh, it's not working. But I always like to say that, like, this is the view that I can see. I can only see as far as my eyes, you know, on the horizon, but God, universe, whatever is up here, topographical view, can see, you know, the best way, the quickest, you know, who you have to meet in order for this thing to happen. And I mean, I've had times in my life where I went, oh my gosh, I got to this place right here because I met that person who told me to take that course, who then I read this book, and then that other thing happened, and right. And that's how life works, but we don't see it that way because it seems like it's slow. But if we could fast forward all the things that happened in our life and go, oh, that happened, and then this happened, and then that happened, we could see that it all made sense. But in the midst of it, it doesn't make sense because we don't have the topographical view. But when we get involved in trying to make the how be our focus, that's the universe's business. Our business is what and why. What do we want and why do we want it? The how is all up to somebody else. That's not our domain. And so when we recognize that's not our domain, then we can just go ahead and relax into getting very intentional about what we want to create and allowing it to unfold how it will. And then I always tell people, how do I know, or how do you know what is how it's supposed to show up, you know? Or, you know, try to be more, like, I'll have people in my classes and they'll say, oh, I want my business to double or triple by the end of the year. And I'll say, why do you want that? And they'll say, because I want more money. And I'll say, if the money came to you through the lottery or somebody dying or whatever, would that be okay? Well, yeah. Okay. So quit making the ask so narrow. Just get intentional about what the life is that you'd like to create. What does it look like, feel like, seem like? And get into those emotions on a regular basis, and it will create how it's supposed to. We somehow think we know the answers of when it's supposed to show up, how it's supposed to look, all those things. And that's where we get in trouble, is we just don't allow things to be as they are. It's that resistance to what is.
Very true. Very true. I think because, as I said earlier, because we are emotionally bound to a lot of things, emotionally connected to a lot of things. And the only way we can look at it is we can only manage our emotions, but we can't control them. Emotions are emotions. And you know, there is a book I was reading about molecules of emotion, and what is discussed in that is the depth of how emotions are created, or how you receive. There are receptors on emotions, so receiving different chemicals, and they do dance on your emotions, and that changes your emotions. And it's like in the morning you wake up, you are so happy, and then you heard the news which make you sad. And then you heard another good news that makes you happy. And then you had another. So all the way through to your evening, you are hearing good news and bad news and good news and bad news. Sometimes it's extremely bad news, and then it's extremely good news. Your emotions are dancing, and they are just in a sort of a platter of a place where they are just preparing so many things. And if you are aware of your emotions, you started to think, all right, it's okay. It's part of my journey. Let me just acknowledge them. If it's a good news, I'm going to rejoice it. If it is a sad news, I'm still going to rejoice it.
I think that's where the healing is.
Yes.
Is in like recognizing, acknowledging that you're having an emotion and then sitting with it. What happened? This is another thing, right? It's, you know, from little kids, it's like they're crying about something. You're trying to console them and make it go away. And I just want to say, stop doing that. Stop trying to make the emotions go away. Just feel them for a minute. You don't have to sit in them and wallow in them, but acknowledge that they're there. See, get in wonder and curiosity about them. Why is that there? Why all of a sudden am I having these emotions? The healing is in sitting in those emotions every single time so that you can get past it. And each time you start to create healing when you choose to have the emotion versus trying to cover it up with alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, shopping, media, whatever the thing is. Sometimes it's like, you know, your kids. Like, how many women do you know that are like, they're 100% all in on their kids, but they've completely forgotten themselves. Like, I almost all of my friends were like that. And
you know, emotions play a significant role in our whole human being. And emotional intelligence. Now, everybody talk about IQ, but nobody talks about EQ. What's your thoughts on EQ? Is it very important for us to have? Or is this one of those things we should still shy about it?
Well, it's funny because in the corporate world, they call that the soft skills. And I would say that while they may seem soft, they're heck of a lot more important than IQ. If you can, in a work setting or in a leadership position, if you can have empathy for the people that work with you, if you can show them that they have value because as a human, not as a widget or as a robot, productivity goes up, experience goes up, longevity, retention. I mean, all the things go up. So that just tells you, as much as we like to think that business and personal are separate, they're not. We're human beings. We are meant to be in community. That's why this last year has been so difficult for a lot of people. And we're meant to, you know, love on each other and like each other and do all the things. We spend all this time trying to delineate out how I'm special or different than you. But the reality is we have the same, like we all ultimately, when you distill it down, want the same thing, to love and be loved. That's it. It's that simple. How it shows up though is different because we've all had these different experiences. The beliefs that we talked about that were created from those experiences are different. And we all act like we had the same experiences and we're all think the same things, but we don't. But ultimately, if you distill it down, it is about loving and being loved. Everybody, like I've met nobody and I've worked in prisons and, you know, with people who, you know, don't have a heart or whatever, or sociopaths and things, same thing. They want the same thing too. They're a little screwed up, but they want the same thing. Same with, you know, it's so crazy. I was thinking when you were talking earlier, you know, sometimes you'll see, I don't know about there, but here, often you'll see a homeless person on the street and they'll be having an episode, you know, where they're, you know, screaming out or whatever. That's not any different than what's going on in our brains, all of us, you know, all this thinking, anger, you know, resentment, all the emotional experiences we're having, they just don't have the filter to keep it in. And in some ways, I think that's healthier, right? Release those emotions, get them out there. You know, they don't have that filter, but I think that filter actually, that's what causes disease and mental health issues. And because you know, tamping down those emotions all the time is not good for your body. It's not good for your spirit. And I see those people sometimes and I think that's true freedom, is to be able to express yourself how you want to express yourself, as crazy as that might sound.
Because I think we have forgotten how to laugh out loud when we just type an emoji of LOL and we we say to a lot of people, oh, lol and lol and lol and all those sort of things. But really, you are laughing out loud or you are just having a smirk on your face because you are not having that capacity to laugh out loud. I remember myself, my marriage broke down in 2013, and I could not bear, well, journey has very good been, and a good adventurous life has been, but even though my marriage broke down, and sometimes you think, yeah, it's a quite a big episode. Yeah, it was a big episode. I have 3 children, but I also had a relief that marriage was not going anywhere. Yeah, she decided to find somebody and happen whatever happened in the life, and I acknowledged it and I moved on with my life. And this is the conditioning which people look at from outside and look at them, oh, look, he can't handle a woman. Yeah, he could not handle a woman. How can he handle anything else? So people have perception because it's conditioned. Everybody has been conditioned. People, those who are pointing finger at me, they've gone through the same journey in their own marriages. And they started talking to me. How did you manage? How did you go through with those sort of things? And I was privileged to be there to stand by them. Because I remember my journey when I was going through the ups and downs in my journey as a man. Men are not resilient in emotions because we do not want to extract our emotions to others. Because they will.
Well, I would even attest that you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about over there, but in America, you're not allowed, as a man, you're just now being allowed to have more than anger as an emotion. But up until pretty much through my generation, anger was the only available emotion for men.
Yeah. No, because we are conditioned. We have been brought up like, you are a boy. Boy, do not cry. Mm-hmm. It's only the girls who cry. So now reflection on that is now, if let's say for the conditioning for both of them, men and women, I'm being conditioned to become a boy who is not going to share my emotions and everything, and I'm going to be use my anger as an emotion, breaking things as an emotion, and all sorts of things. Woman is not allowed to have an emotion. They have emotions, but they can't actually allow to have an emotion. But now what is happening is the conditioning. The men, woman is their very strong figure. Men become very emotional and comes to a woman and she look at him and says, you are weak. I don't want weak people. I want strong people in my life. I can be emotional and you can look after me, but if you are emotional, I can't look after you. And that's where a lot of problems affect, because we are all conditioned. You are live in the society where you are brought up as a woman, saying that your responsibility is to look after your husband, your children. You are a mother. That's your responsibility. A man, your responsibility to make sure that you are the breadwinner. You provide food to your children and your wife and everything. And that's it. This is two combination has been created in the society. Now the system is changing. Becoming women, becoming breadwinners, and men becoming a house husband. But that's perfectly normal. But in different society, it doesn't make normal things. People look at you. My own society, my uncle used to call me, oh, look, your mom and dad is coming to my children. Because my wife was not present because she was doing something different. But I was having that both energies in me as a masculine and a feminine. I was playing those energy to help my children to grow as a normal human being. It's not about who is dominated, who wears a trouser, who got balls. It's not about that. It's about harmony. It's about working as a team. And working as a team as to bring the children to the society to be a good human being. If you are not going to give them a good base from the childhood, they will come out exactly the same you never ever thought of. So it's the same how you're going to bring them up. And that's where emotional intelligence is very important, to be aware of your own emotions. You know, two people are fighting. It's not about that two people are fighting, they both have to fight. One has to just stop and just say, I don't want to listen. What's happening? I might be wrong. I'm raising my hand and saying, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm extremely sorry. Create that resilience in yourself to say sorry. It's not about that I'm going to be compete with you until you decide that you're going to say, no, I can't take it anymore. You know, you win. Thank you very much. And it doesn't happen like that. And that's what is happening in the society right now. People are not honest to themselves. So how they're going to be honest to others?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think, you know, we need to stop looking at relationships as though longevity means success. You know, I know plenty of people who are in 20-year marriages that are miserable. That's not a partnership. They're tied to this external power of security, right? Well, I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but there is no security. Like, there's none. Even people who are ultra wealthy, yeah, any day, anything could happen. Obviously, COVID happened. Nobody saw that coming, you know? And so, yeah, it's so we get tied to these things that we think are going to make us feel happy. Security is another one of those things. Oh, when I have this much money, then I'll be secure. Hate to break it to you, but there is no security. It's just like it, you know, the quicker we can get to what is and being okay with that, the better the experience. In terms of relationships, I'm actually doing a pilot course on spiritual partnerships, because what I recognize is that in relationships with other people, what happens is we don't understand what's going on when we're not getting along. And when you understand the whole behind the scenes thing, the beliefs, and that creating your perception, and then you take personal responsibility for, you know, when somebody says something or does something and you get into reaction over it, and you go, instead of going, oh, that person made me feel this way, you say, where am I in that? Like, why do I feel that way? Because that person is just being that person and I'm in reaction. So it's me that needs to be looked at. So, oh, I'm going to look at me. And then recognizing, like, bringing two people together that understand what's going on behind the scenes, so that when a belief like that is being poked and we're going to reaction over it, then we know that that is ours to own and they know it too. So it's less about we're arguing because we don't get along. It's more about, oh, this person said something. Now I'm going to be open and honest with how I'm feeling, recognizing that it's mine. I own that experience, not them. They didn't do anything to me. They just brought it to my attention.
That's quite an true example, because a lot of people are trying to put finger across and saying that is your fault. I'm just a victim over here. I'm not going to take a responsibility of that. And again, as you said, people who are been married for 20 years, 30 years, they are just sitting in that sort of a marriage because of the society. What society is going to think about us? Our immediate society, what they're going to think about it? I'm going to get divorced. What my society is going to think about it? Or look at them. Them got divorced. Look at them. This person got divorced. Do they fill my house with food and everything? Who pays for my bills? I pay for my bills. Who pays my mortgage? I pay for my mortgage. So who are they to dictate my life? But because we are conditioned, and that's where the problem starts. I'm a father of three girls, and I said to my three girls, you know, it is your choice to find a partner. It's not about me saying to you, well, I have selected somebody for you. You're going to live with that person for the rest of their life. And I said, it's not going to happen in my life, because I want to give you freedom to choose whoever you, because at the end of the day, you are going to be living with that person, not me. So your decision is more important than my decision. Yeah, I will guide you through to the right path, but then it's your choice to take that path or decide to take some other path.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in this idea of spiritual partnership, you are basically making a commitment to each other for spiritual growth. And that will have, just like every relationship, a beginning, a middle, and an end. Sometimes the end is death, but other times it's, you know, this is why people break up, is one person is moving in a direction and the other person is not, either not moving at all or going the other direction, right? And so in spiritual partnership, when you make the commitment to understanding that, you know, I'm in relationship with this person because they're poking my beliefs so that I can heal from them. And then when we're not moving in that direction anymore, or there's nothing else to be learned from that relationship, then we move on. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no, you know, I mean, you can call it divorce or whatever you want to call it, but it, there's no energy on it, because it's like, oh, I'm moving in this direction now and you are either standing still or going in the other direction, and that's fine. There's no, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You do your thing. I'm going to look for another partner that I can grow spiritually with. Yeah, and that's it.
I think that's what is happening with a lot of vibration. We talk about vibration. There are two people in different vibrations. You know, when you talk about people who are in the same vibration, you have a very great conversation. You hit all the nodes. And then you started thinking, oh my God, I think I know that person from somewhere. There is always some sort of a match you have and connection. And sometimes you meet people who are, you are in that vibration and they are in the lower vibration. And sometimes you have to come down to their vibration to start talking to them. And then you are becoming the guide to lift them with you as a guider to that vibration as well. Only if they are ready to go to that vibration. That's the journey everybody has to take. Meeting people to have that vibration. And these sort of thing, quantum, you know, quantum physics, and then you're talking about the vibration, we are talking about the frequencies, and we're talking about energies, and these are all been present. They were never been away from us. We've been conditioned to so many things. We have started to fold it so many layers around it that somebody says something to you, then oh, the guidance or the guardian angels, and they look at you and they say, okay, conditioning. And they started to leave the layer upon layer upon layer, and they come to that core and say, yeah, I think I remember my mom used to talk about the fairy tales, the guardian angels and everything. I resonate with those things right now. After I'm 71 years old right now, but I resonate those things right now because I close myself. And that's the journey begins. Everybody has the journey, but it will begin. The time is going to be right for them. You can't fast forward things in our life. Everything is going, even though you say, oh, I go to church, mosque, and temple, and ask God to give me something, and I'm waiting, I'm not receiving it. So I might go and see somebody else. Even though you go to see somebody else, they are going to tell you exactly the same thing. Wait. Things are happening because we do not have patience. Patience is the key factor in anything we do in our life. Yeah. What is going to happen is, if you just say, okay, I'm very hungry, let me just cook something, and you bung it into the microwave, yeah, and you quickly take it out and start eating, and you burn your face, or it's half cooked, you end up in the hospital because it's giving you a terrible tummy ache because you did not read the instruction. You just completely confused in your head what you were doing, and you just trying to sabotage. So you did it yourself, then you can't actually blame the microwave or the food who has provided you, correct? Because you are not looking at yourself, because that's what is happening. People, as you mentioned, there are a lot of things happening in life. Our people have to start taking some time out for themselves. And that's what people are not doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, in terms of, you know, people wanting to be in relationship with other people, you know, they're always like, I want to find the love of my life. I want to, you know, or I want to be in love or whatever. It's like the relationship to be in love with is the one with yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the one that's where you create from, right? And, you know, like I'll have clients come to me and I'll say, I want to be in a relationship. And I say, oh, okay, did you write a list of who that person's going to be? And they'll say, yeah. And I said, but did you write a list of who you're going to be in order to attract that fantastic person? Like, if you want, you know, the top 10 reasons that are like this incredible person is going to be in your life, then you best be that person. Because if you're not that person, you're not going to attract that person. So it still is like what I say, return to sender. It's all you. Like, the relationship to fall in love with is the one with yourself. The love to have is the one with yourself. The value, the worth is all with yourself. And when that happens, guess what? Like, that vibration is so high, you're going to attract to you that exact same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On that note, I think, Aaron, you have actually given us so much food for thought and so much great insight of the journey of finding a spiritual partner, and also how to combat the anxiety and everything. Would you please tell my listener how they get hold of you?
I think the best way to get a hold of me is on Instagram. My handle is Erin, E-R-I-N, Mac, M-A-C-L-L-C. I post a lot of videos with content, strategies, things to think about. So yeah, that's, and then my URL for my website is on there as well.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you very much. Guys, you got a treat, so listen, and if you can kindly share to all your friends and family who can listen to this as well, and get in touch with Aaron. I'm going to put more of the information that she provided to me on the description of this podcast when I release it. So until then, have a rest wherever you are. Enjoy, have fun, and just enjoy the thing which is happening in around you. Just look, open your eyes, and just stay in the moment of bliss and happiness. Thank you for joining us. This is your host, Sam Dosa. Bye for now.